Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 and 2. I hope you're there. The psalmist pens these words: "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Jesus, we love you and we're so grateful for our time together today. As we have greeted one another and encouraged each other today, as we have worshiped one another and received the strength of this gathering and the strength of your presence, now we come to the studying of your word and pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak to us in a way that we could absolutely apply to our lives today. To that end, would you give us ears to hear what you're saying? As we hear that word, would you allow our minds to understand and comprehend in such a way that we can apply it to our lives right now, in this moment, today? As we receive and comprehend that word, would you allow it to seep into the deepest parts of who we are so that it might take root in good soil and grow and produce fruit in our lives and in the lives of those around us? To that end, we do pray and believe you will and can do all of these things in this house and beyond this morning in Jesus' name. Can you agree with some of that and say amen this morning? Amen. Amen. I'd like to share with you a message today entitled, "In God We Trust." In God We Trust. I don't know how you handle trust. We actually talked about trust on our Sunday morning devotional this morning at 9 a.m. on our Facebook page. And so this is a mild extension of that. And so if you were listening to the devotion this morning, you better get excited about what I'm going to preach right now, because some of it is the same. I don't know how you handle trust. I don't know how you deal with trust. I don't know if trust has been broken in you. I don't know if trust has been restored. I don't know all the details of how you manage and navigate trust. Odds are, if you are a human being, which applies to every single person in this room and every single person watching, at some point in your life, trust has been broken. If it hasn't, it will be, so buck your seats. It's kind of painful. Trust has been broken. And it's also no secret that out of our experience with trust, we engage the same trust in our relationship with God. Sometimes we approach God as one where trust has been broken so deeply and we find it hard to trust God. Sometimes the pain of abandonment or worse influences our trust in God. But I declare to you this morning in the title of the message, "In God We Trust." Trust is something we have to do every single day. I'd like to show you a graphic as we come into the message today. Whatever you must do today, do it with the confidence of a 4-year-old in a Batman cape. I've had a 4-year-old before. I've had 3 4-year-olds before. When my kids were that small, we had lots of 4 and 5 and 6-year-olds in our house. Whatever you must do today, do it with the confidence of a 4-year-old in a Batman cape. I don't know where trust is leading you today. I don't know what trust is asking you to do today. But I pray that you do it, not just with the confidence of a 4-year-old in a Batman cape, but with the confidence of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Let's get right into this thing and stop messing around, okay? Biblically defined trust. Let's define trust real quick. Biblically, our text said, "In God whom I trust." Now, I used this, I borrowed it, built this definition from the Dictionary of Bible Themes, and that commentary, that dictionary, defines trust this way. Biblical trust is the reliance on and confidence in a person. Scripture affirms the total trustworthiness of God, especially in relation to His promises to His people. Christian faith is essentially trust in the person and character of God Himself. It goes on to say this, as we kind of frame out this working definition this morning. Scripture emphasizes the importance of putting one's trust in God. This trust, which is nurtured by an understanding of God's revealed truth, finds expression, listen to this, in a life lived according to His purpose. We might say it this way, in short. We trust, or parentheses, rely on and put confidence in God when we live according to His purpose. I know that it might sound simple, maybe it might sound complex, maybe it might sound too simple or too complex, and that's okay. Our Sunday morning devotional, as I mentioned briefly earlier, was on trust today. The following is an excerpt from that devotional reading, and I would like to quote it and read it to you this morning. Listen close. One type of Christian trusts that what Jesus teaches is true, but only on an intellectual level. This person appreciates a good sermon, but then goes away and lives out the moments of their life in ways that make it indistinguishable from the lives of those who do not trust Jesus at all. I read that and I said, ouch. If you need to say ouch, you can say ouch too, and we can just ouch together. This type of person doesn't trust Jesus with their life and so lives, quote unquote, like a shrub in the desert, as quoted in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. The author goes on to say, there is another type of person, though, one who chooses to trust the truth of Jesus deeply, authentically, and practically. This type of person lives the moments of their life in ways that are markedly different than they'd be otherwise because of their trust. When I read this, I, among other things, I being convicted and challenged, I understand and I want to say it so that nobody's wondering where I'm going. There's nothing wrong with understanding Jesus on an intellectual level. As a matter of fact, I would encourage us to understand Him on an intellectual level. One of the greatest examples of that, in my estimation, is C.S. Lewis. I'm reading C.S. Lewis' Mere Christianity right now. It's blowing my mind, making my brain turn to jello, and I absolutely love it and must read it slow. C.S. Lewis was an intellectual, to say the least, but he navigated, he moved from intellectual to believing in the core of who he was, that Jesus was more than just an intellectual societal construct. Jesus was a man, a person, and he had a character that changed people. That's what brought C.S. Lewis to life, is when he got from intellectual and connecting the dots between the practical and the others that I mentioned. When we trust, consider this, when we trust in God, we consciously play the long game. When we put our trust in God, we play the long game, and we choose to play the long game. It's not momentary, and it's not conditional. It's not like this. God, I will trust you this time and see how things end up. But once I see how things end up, at that point, we'll renegotiate the contract. That's not how trusting God works. We don't draw up the conditions of the agreement. We agree to the conditions of the agreement already written in John 14, verse 1. John 14, 1 says this in the words of Jesus, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Non-conditional. Matter of fact, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then he commands us, "Trust in God. Trust also in me." Trusting in God is not a conditional agreement. It's an unconditional commitment regardless of the outcome. Regardless of the outcome. Trust is a commitment to God's faithfulness. Hear me today. We don't trust God because, stating the title of this message, we don't trust God because, quote unquote, "in God we trust" is on our United States currency. We don't trust God because he always gives us the results that we want. We don't trust God because it's convenient. We don't trust God because it's easy. We don't trust God because it somehow helps our reputation or improves our social status. We trust God because he is faithful. All the time. We trust God because he is good. All the time. We trust God because he is right. All the time. We trust God because he knows what is best for us. All the time. We trust God because he has asked us and commanded us to do. We trust God because he is perfect in all of his ways. We trust God because he has never failed. We trust God because we cannot always trust ourselves. We can't always trust our gut. And we definitely can't always trust our heart or our feelings. Does anybody want to chime in and say amen to anything that I have just said over the last 30 seconds? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, in speaking of the heart, says this: "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And in the very next verse, which I didn't list, it says, I, God, search the heart. That's the power he has over your heart that is deceitful above all. God is able to search that heart, cleanse that heart, purify that heart, and turn that heart towards his righteousness when we trust him. 1 John 3:19 and 20. Again, in addressing our heart, says this: "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts." I'm not sure about you. I can only speak out of my own experience. I am so glad that God is greater than my deceitful heart and my lying feelings. Kind of brings me to this statement. And this is kind of a rhetorical statement to me. I'm not screaming it at you. Imagine me standing in front of a mirror and saying these words: "Eddie, live like you trust him." Now, if you can get in that cart and ride with me, in your brain, I would like you to imagine yourself standing in front of a mirror, and I would like you to insert your name. I'll use Bob as an example because Bob won't hate me when I do this. Bob, live like you trust him. It's kind of fun. I'm just going to pick some people out. Kind of makes people sweat when I do that. Penny? Live like you trust him. Dad always picks on Sally. I'll give her a break. AJ, He may not like me, but his dad loves me. So, AJ, live like you trust him. Live like you trust him. I'll stop picking on people so nobody else has to wonder now, oh, geez, am I next? Live like you trust him. It's one thing to say we trust Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'd like to take a poll. How many have ever said, Jesus, I trust you? I think all of us, if we're honest, we can say that. It's a different thing altogether to walk that out. It's one thing to verbalize it. It's a much more difficult thing to live it. Can I just say this to you today? But we don't get a pass on trusting simply because trusting Jesus is hard. We must live like we trust him. The book of Proverbs says it this way in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Our devotional this morning said it this way, and I'm going to read this quote. When we trust Jesus, hear this, when we actually live like we trust him, we then come to life. When we live like we trust him, we become spiritually strong and healthy and fruitful, like trees planted by the water, and we begin to move into the full lives that God dreamed about so long ago. Like trees planted by the water. I love this part of the devotional. When we live like we trust him, we become spiritually strong and spiritually healthy and spiritually fruitful, like trees planted by the water. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 gives us another picture of this tree planted by the rivers of water and its opposite. If you'd like to turn there with me, you can, or the words will be on the screen. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 starts this way. This is what the Lord says. So I'm going to stop right there for just a second. If you don't like what this says, I'm going to refer you back to the very first sentence I just read. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Holy buckets. That is a powerful, powerful statement and a warning about where we choose to live. There's a maxim that says, you'll recognize it, there's a maxim that says, bloom where you're planted. It's really up to us if we're going to bloom where we're planted, and it's up to us where we choose to be planted. We can be a bush in the wastelands where nobody lives. Or, Jeremiah goes on to say in verse 7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Listen now, he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. What a great admonition that is. What a powerful encouragement that is. We can live one of two ways as I see it. We can live like trees planted by the water, as Jeremiah 17:8 said, or we can live like a bush in the wasteland, like Jeremiah 17:6 says. And it all begins with trust. That's exactly what Jeremiah told us. It all begins with trust. Trusting Jesus with our life. Trusting Jesus with our resources, every single one of them. Trusting Jesus with our future. Trusting Jesus with our children. Trusting Jesus with our spouse or our neighbors or our co-workers. Trusting Jesus with the things we don't understand. Trusting Jesus with the things we do understand. Trusting Him with the hurt or the suffering or the confusion or the abandonment or the feeling of being disenfranchised. We need to trust Jesus. Now, we must trust Jesus in every area of our life. And I'm not going to stand up here and pretend that trust is easy. And I'm definitely not going to feed you a lie that says trust is easy every time you implement it. I will not lie to you and say trust is easy to do every single morning. Just do A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Trust is hard. Trust is really hard. But I want you to hear this today. You were built to do hard things. You were created to do hard things. Trust isn't the only hard thing that God will require of you when you submit your life to Him as Savior and Lord. Healing from addictions is hard. Saying I forgive you is hard. Loving mean people is hard. I mean, for goodness sakes, for me, loving nice people is hard enough. Mean people takes it to a whole different level. But God created you to do hard things. And one of those hard things is trust. Trust is hard. But we were built to do hard things. To quote the devotion one more time, the author said, trusting Jesus deeply, authentically, practically makes us spiritually strong, spiritually healthy, and spiritually fruitful. In the book of John, we read about what it means to abide in Him. And as we abide in Him, He abides in us. And we have this reciprocating, healthy, fruitful relationship when we choose to trust. Because when we choose to trust, we choose to abide. It's true. It's true. We can trust Jesus. Can I just encourage you with this today? God's got a perfect track record. And it's not going to end with me. And it's not going to end with you. And it's not going to end with anyone else for that matter. God is faithful. And our trust added to God's faithfulness is a perfect combination. We might as well just get ready for the ride, because we're in for an amazing one. Stand with me this morning as we close. Our benediction comes from what I might label today my life verse. I read this verse when I was a very, very young boy. I have a plaque on my stand where I get ready every morning with the first three verses quoted on that plaque. When I'm doing good, I read it every day. When I'm doing bad, sometimes I miss a day. I want to leave you with this benediction today. I will read this scripture, I will pray, and then we will be dismissed. In God we trust is going to end this way. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight, hallelujah, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Jesus, we love you. Our prayer today, my prayer today, and I hope that others will join me in praying this way. God, I trust you. Help my trust to be combined with your faithfulness so that I can be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, whose roots run deep, whose leaf does not wither, and whose life bears fruit in season, not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of everybody around me. Help us today to trust in Jesus. And for more reasons, just because it's a national motto and on our currency, we say today, biblically, in God we trust. In Jesus' name, can you say amen with me this morning? Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming to church today. I love you lots. Yeah, let's give Jesus some praise today. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming to church. Love on somebody on the way out. Handshake, high five, whatever might be appropriate. Have a great Sunday. We look forward to seeing you back here soon.